If there's one thing we've learned about business and life, it's that people are the X factor. They constantly surprise us, both in amazing ways and not so much. We're Ben and Sia, and welcome to the Gnaw on This Business Bites podcast. This show is all about real life things we all deal with every day, how they relate to business, and how to make some sense out of our daily chaos. Welcome to the show. And welcome back to another episode of Gnaw on This Business Bites. I'm Ben, and this is Sia. And this week, we want to talk about the cost of comfort, why ease often kills growth. Now, what I mean by this is, you know what? We get complacent. Things become easy. We get comfortable. And when we become too comfortable, we lose the ability to innovate. We lose our edge. We lose the sharpness of our saw. And you know what? We feel that we own our customers. Our customers are ours, and we own them, and no one could ever take away our customers from us because we own that relationship. Well, let me tell you a story. And this has happened after I actually left an organization. One buddy calls me up. He says, "Ben, you're not going to believe this. This is why." He says, "Greg just lost a $2.5 million client." I said, "So he lost his key client." He says, "Exactly." I go, "What happened?" He says, "Well, they called him in to do a presentation." And this has been a client of his for 20 plus years. And, you know, as I said, he controls about $2.5 million of their business. And, you know, walks in and he sits down and shakes the hands with people and goes, and the guy says, "I hope you have a really good presentation. The guys in front of you just killed it." Well, Greg was basically doing it on the back of a napkin. He assumed the business was his. He assumed he was going to win it. And the last thing the person said before they left was, "How many people does Greg's company have?" He says, "Well, about 30. He says, 30 people could die at our company tomorrow and you'd still be fine. Well, it was playing hardball instead of softball. You know, it's pick up league versus the big leagues. He lost to a $10 billion company. And not only did that $10 billion company eat his lunch, but it took the lunch of about 6 or 7 other vendors that this customer had and consolidated the business based on the fact that we're a $1 billion company. We have all these innovations. We have all these systems, processes, and technology. They don't. We can do this for you. We can do that for you. We can do the other thing for you. We're going to give you a dedicated team of people that only deal with you." Well, Greg couldn't do any of that. He didn't have the team for it. He didn't have the ability. He was so comfortable and assumed that whatever he had always done was going to be perfect for this customer and that he owned this customer. Within 6 months, he lost a $2.5 million client of a $3.8 million company. So we all can get a little too comfortable. We all can get a little bit too complacent. And we know the ramifications of that. So Sia, let's gnaw on this.
I mean, perfect example of all of this is like, just look at the, you know, that chart. We talk about this chart all the time, which mm-hmm. is the top 10 global brands worldwide over the last 50 years. And it went from, you know, food services, et cetera, to now it's pure tech, right?
Yep.
And, you know, a lot of them, like Coca-Cola's kind of held it. Coca-Cola used to be the top company worldwide, right?
Forever.
And now all the CPGs have kind of come and gone. So I think it's once you get complacent in your position, right? The fact that you think, "Oh, like you said, I own this client,"
yeah,
is probably when you should be innovating the most.
Absolutely.
Because what that means is you're a target. You're no longer the one chasing. You're being chased. And we see this in tech companies countless of times. So I mean, that story makes me wince in pain a little bit because as a sales rep, you know, you take advantage, like personal-wise, you take advantage of the people that you think you can, you know,
mm-hmm.
lean back and be comfortable with. It's why so many personal relationships fail is because you stop trying.
You stop caring.
You stop listening. You stop being curious. You stop and you start making assumptions for each other. And man, you literally just had this conversation with my partner of like, what was it? We were talking about like this, it's that blush of honeymoon phase where everyone's talking to each other and kumbaya, everything's great. You can't do anything wrong. I can't do anything wrong. We're not going to do anything wrong. Kumbaya, kumbaya, right? And then as time goes on, you know, now that I've been with my partner for many cycles, is like, I said to him, one of the reasons why I enjoy our relationship so much is that we're constantly curious. We're still curious about each other, or at least we'll find a topic. If it's not curious about each other, because man, I mean, we talk a lot, but we're both open to being curious about topics that the other person might be curious in, for example, right? So I may not be a finance person, like my eyes will gloss over, but he'll put it in a way with like, hey, there's a reason why you care about this situation that's happening, economically, globally, whatever, right? The cost of disk, memory, whatever it might be, there's a reason behind it, right? So yeah, I love that you were talking about this because do we ever, okay, knowing that we lose things along the way because of comfort, is there ever a time we can relax a little bit? Because you don't always need to be on full attention and full alert.
No.
I think we should clarify that because I feel like it's a little stressing for some people to be like, wait a minute, like I don't want to always be asking my partner questions all the time. Like, can we, in a business situation, when is a good time where we have developed a relationship, trust, et cetera, where we can maybe not be on, fifth gear acceleration all the time? When can we downshift?
I think what we need to be is we need to have an ear open and an eye open. And we need to be not reactive, but proactive in terms of sitting there going, okay, let's take a look at the market. Is the market doing the same thing? Okay. But wait a second, there's that way out the distance. I don't need to pay attention to it exactly, but I need to learn a little bit more about it. And it's not about constantly changing, it's not constantly innovating, constantly iterating. Because that also makes customers exhaustive. Customers are always exhausting if they're always having to look at something new. Sometimes they just want to sit there and say, fine, this has been working for us for the last 5 years. Can we just continue to do this? Like, I don't need that extra
Bell and
widget
whistle,
attached, a
yeah.
bell or whistle attached to it. This is working for us. Like, quit moving the keystrokes, because the old keystrokes were working just fine, thank you very much. But I think we always need to be cognizant of what are their challenges moving forward. If our clients are sitting there going, you know what? On a yearly basis to say, what are we doing well? What aren't we doing well? And what aren't we doing that you'd really like us to be doing? What are you seeing out there that we aren't doing? And it's keeping that conversation open and alive. It doesn't mean that you're going to move on every single one of those innovations, but it's being cognizant of saying, you know what? That's not in our wheelhouse. Let me see if I can bring on a partner that does that type of thing. And I can bring somebody on board that does that. And would that be a tr oh yeah, that'd be great. I really love that. Great. That way you're not having to innovate. You're not having to do that. You're finding a partner that's their jam. That's their wheelhouse. And you're bringing them to the table. So it's not always you that needs to innovate. You just need to have the Rolodex to enable you to sit there and say, look, let me bring this to the table for you. I don't have to be the expert. I just have to know where the experts are, and I need to be able to make those handshake relationships to build in that layer of trust. And by doing that, that's a way to cement relationships. It's not always being on the cutting edge. It's understanding how to be responsive to our customers and understanding what's going to make their lives better and who do we need to bring to the table, excuse me, in order to be able to facilitate that.
100%. Again, it seems so rudimentary. Have conversations, be curious, listen more than talk, right? And And I think in all aspects, again, I'm selfish, everyone, and I apologize because it's my lens of, experience is, I was tech, I was in sales, right? So I'd go to my clients. So, I'm trying to switch gears where it's like, hey, I'm in a corporate entity. I work for a department within a corporate entity too, right? Like I'm trying to make the language work. But so here's the question that we have, because we know this happens. In a world that's constantly changing, in a world where we're constantly experiencing a shiny new toy, okay, you may have someone in your leadership, executive leadership, that says, "Ooh, I want that shiny new toy," and it just happens to be your team is the one that has to implement it. The one has to figure out, is this going to work? Is this the right thing? If you were in the position internal, let's say internally, what would you do, Ben, if the CEO came to you and said, "Okay, I'm really excited about this ability to create a chat experience with an avatar of our employees. Can you make that happen?" Now, granted, the technology is there for it, but it comes at a
Absolutely.
cost, right? So you are head of marketing. What would you do as a response to the CEO to say, "What I demand
You
this"?
know what I would say is this, of course we can. The problem is it's going to take time, money, budget, and also leadership within the C-suite. Do we have this? And the question is, what are the projects that you're willing to back burner in order to make this happen? Because we only have limited budget, we only have limited time and resources. So either this is a new direction and you're willing to support this and we want to move forward with this. And my question is, what are the goals attached to this and how does this benefit our clients? Or is this something that we just want to test out to see that we can do? Is this something that we're just going to put in a beta, that we're just going to put a limit of two or three people to this project? We're going to see whether this is actually viable or not. Test it in a viable in a small environment and see what the outcomes are. Like, what are we trying to do? What are we trying to do here?
And I
I
think,
get that. I get that's what you want, but what are we trying to do? And the problem with me is I'm willing to have that conversation all the way up to the C-suite. And those type of conversations, and given some CEOs, will get you handed your termination papers, or get you transferred to to Iowa or wherever. You all of a sudden you're going to get to the office that nobody knows of and nobody talks to. But the thing is, if you don't have the ability as a leader within your division to sit there and say yes, but, or no, however, and be able to have those conversations to say, okay, given the scope of the mandates that we have this year, given the goals that we're going after, given what our customers are telling us, given what our economic, outlook is for Q3 and Q4, how does this fit in with what we're currently doing, and how does this augment and make our lives better as a company? Explain that to me, and so I can move forward and we can be successful with this. And nine times out of 10, you're going to get the, huh? Because they had a conversation over a beer or over lunch or something like that. They got all excited about something and they want it too. And the answer is you can have whatever you want as a CEO. The question is, what are you willing to give up in order to have it?
I mean, how does this benefit the business as a CEO, as the what's the word, like the re person responsible for the business, right? So yeah, I think it's interesting. I think it's I love the fact that there are times when the CEOs are at conferences or whatnot, or they see, the pitches from analysts talking about this is the future, this is blah, 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 your business needs XYZ, this is the next wave of technology, or this is the next wave of, society, or whatever have you. And I do like the fact that a leader that takes the time to question the next big thing to say, hey, could this be something for us? I think keeps everybody on in the company on their toes because it
Absolutely.
does open the door for internal entrepreneurship to take the initiative to try something new, invent something new, come up with something new that maybe the company can remain innovative. I think that is one of the reasons why I love this conversation and topic, Ben, is because, you know, I cannot help but think mentioning Kodak, and I'm sorry, Kodak, but they were the top cat's meow for photography forever,
Forever.
forever. And then the move to digital, right? Like they didn't. And that's the problem. You know, Blockbuster, they didn't move to streaming, right? And you know, it just sucks for those leaders, right? Because I wouldn't say they're bad leaders. It was just they misread perhaps the trends for their business. And unfortunately, there's always going to have to be a story. There's always going to have to be a story, right?
Exactly. And I think,
Learning
I mean,
lesson, learning lesson.
we need, I mean, we need to realize that, but we need to realize that, you know what? Here, let's leave it here. Is that as organizations, we need to keep one eye on the future. We need to be innovating. We need to be pushing the envelope, but we need to be doing it in such a way that it works and it's relevant for the organization that we're with and for the customers that we're trying to support. Going after everything, going after every new customer, going after every new shiny object leads us to split us in 10,000 different directions. And we don't do anything well. And we have far more
True.
failures than we do, than we have wins. And it leads to a lot of money being and time and effort being wasted on stuff that's never going to come to fruition. So we need to be passionate. We need to be forward-thinking. We need to be looking into the future. But we need to be doing it with a purpose.
I can agree to that. But that being said, I also believe very strongly that, you know what? Don't lose curiosity.
Never,
It's my word of the year.
never.
I think every episode's gonna have the word curiosity in it because, again, if lack of curiosity leads to complacency, right? And we don't want to be complacent. But
No.
I also argue sometimes, though, you do need to reward yourself for the wins that you have and throttle back too. You can't be constantly go, 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 because that's what burnout is too. So,
Exactly. So let's leave it there. I'm Ben,
now, see ya.
and we'll see you soon.
Hey. Thanks for listening to another episode of Not On This Business Bites. If you liked what you heard, we most humbly ask that you like, share, and hit that subscribe button. And if you want to communicate more effectively within your organization, contact Ben at yourbrandmarketing.com or me at brilliantbeammedia.com. We can help you build your community, brand awareness, and personality through digital content and podcasting. We cannot wait to hear from you. So see you next week for another episode of Not On This Business Bites.